from Zverev, who then goes cross-court to the backhand of Rude, and he's got time to send a wonderful pass down the line, although the umpire's come down off a chair again because Zverev thinks that Rude's previous ground stroke had gone out. Oh, and she confirms that it did. So that lovely little backhand down the line will count for nothing. Miss with the first serve. Dee's enjoyed the addition of Antoine to our team this year. Oh my word, what a return! Sasha Zverev, take a bow. A backhand return of the highest quality. Around the net, no less.
And it wasn't a bad serve out to that ever dangerous, ever potent Alexander Zverev backhand.
This return is deep, and it forced Rude to shovel a half volley from his baseline, and now he's gone long with the inside-in forehand, and here's a chance for Sasha Zverev to really turn the screw, to get a double break and then serve for a place in the final. This is effectively a match point. Rude's changed his service position. He's come along his baseline a little bit. He's going to serve out wide to the backhand. The return's deep. Forehand inside in from Casper Ruud. Now he goes cross court again. So too does Zverev. Up the line from Casper Ruud, who's going back to his double hander. Big backhand down the line from Zverev. That's been his shot of the night. How appropriate that it should give him a double break. And in a moment, the German, the fourth seed, is going to serve for a place in the final.
Well, well played, Alexander Zverev. That backhand. We're going to be talking about that for a while. It's going to be on every highlights reel, social media. The teams here, the teams all over the world, all of our broadcasters, they'll all be clipping up that return from Alexander Zverev, and they'll be using that to illustrate the way that he's played for much of this match. The first set aside, Alexander Zverev has been on fine form, and a wonderful performance so far from the German. And you have to say that insurance break, if you like, that second break of serve, how important will that be? Because it just takes the pressure off him as he goes out to serve for a place in the final. He knows he can lose his serve and all will not be lost, and I think that could be crucial. Must say a quick hello to Lisa in Falmouth. I'm a newly converted listener to Radio Roland Garros thanks to my travel buddy Kat. They went to watch Roland Garros together. They're loving our commentary. Said they're so hooked they've even turned off Tim Henman speaking. We'll be telling Tim that.
Good idea.
I was lucky enough to get Tao's tickets last week, and I was right next to Alcaraz's Tao in the second round. Keep up the fab commentary. It tickles me.
Well, that's what we like to do. Tickle, inform, inspire, and paint the pictures of this wonderful tournament. And it could be a truly wonderful tournament for Sasha Zverev in his fourth consecutive semi-final here, but now serving for a place in the showpiece event. Misses his first serve down the middle.
A mate Kat's listening at the gym. Must say hello to Kat as well.
Oh, well done, Kat. Second serve. Rud runs around to return on his forehand side. Now he's going to slice the backhand down the middle of the court, deep to the backhand of Zverev. Cross court from Rud, down the middle from Sasha Zverev. Deep ball from Rud. He's getting good pace here. He's clubbed a huge forehand. Oh, Zverev, he nearly got it back into play. It was one of those emergency squash shots, the slice on the forehand. He actually came up with a brilliant winner with one of those a few moments ago. Not quite this time. First point to the Norwegian.
Well, Alexander Zverev knows that he's going to have two bites of the cherry, even if he loses this service game.
He might also recall that he recovered from a double breakdown earlier in the championships against Talon Griekspoor. He knows it could be done, but he's got a short ball here. And up goes a now high defensive lob from Casper Ruud that lands nowhere near the court. The serve set him up there. Big, powerful plus one from Zverev, and a desperate stretch, a lunge from Ruud was to no avail. 15-all.
With due respect to Talon Griekspoor, doesn't have the weapons that Alexander Zverev has, doesn't have the capacity to earn 3 points.
And there's another 3 point for Zverev. It's an ace down the middle at 216 kilometres an hour, and it takes his tally to 18.
Two hours and 34 minutes on the clock here. Daylight not quite gone from overhead on court Philippe Chatrier.
It's a good serve, but it was blocked back into play by Ruud. And then the backhand is another winner from Sasha Zverev. A backhand right onto Casper Ruud's baseline. His fight is surely done. The German has two match points. It's an ace! It's an ace performance from Sasha Zverev. If at first you don't succeed, try again. At the fourth attempt, he makes it through to his first Roland Garros final. He becomes only the second German man in the Open era to manage that. And for Casper Ruud, after so many wonderful runs to Grand Slam finals, it's not to be. He began brilliantly, but he loses in four sets.
Well, Alexander Zverev really shrugging off an indifferent first set. Casper Ruud was the much, much better player, and he ignored that. He shook it off. He went back to doing what he does well. The serve improved vastly. The backhand began to fire. And Casper Ruud, as he just takes his bags, walks off court, a weary wave. Well, the energy just seemed to ebb out of him, didn't it?
Yeah.
Through that second set, into the third set in particular, did not look well, had to take a break, got some treatment, spoke to the doctor. Well, as always, we'll find out in his post-match press conference. But let's hear from Alexander Zverev talking to Mats Wilander.
Sasha, congratulations. You are in your first Roland Garros final. What are the emotions? Well done.
Yeah, can't describe the feelings, obviously. Extremely happy, especially, you know, I got so much history on this court. Some of the best memories, some of the worst memories happened on this court, and I'm so happy to be in the final, finally, on my fourth semi-final, and yeah, I'm going to give it my all on Sunday.
Yeah. You look like you're playing with lots of confidence. Some of the shots that you're taking on, they all go in. Are you more confident now than you've been for a few years?
I had to.
Or just better?
Well, I had to today. If I waited, you know, you saw how quickly the first set went away. And Casper is too good of a player to be waiting and to not try to play your game. I did that last year. I lost very, very easily. And I did that in the first set. Lost also the first set very easily. So I knew I had to be much more aggressive. I knew that I had to take it on to him. And, you know, I did. I'm happy the balls went in today. And I'm happy to be in the final.
Yeah, us too. There was no handshake at the end with Casper, because I think he has a stomach bug. How hard, first of all, we wish him well. how hard is it to play? Because you knew there was something going on, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought the first two sets were very high level. The first set from him, the second set from me, and then end of the third set, I saw that he, you know, started to move a little bit slower. You know, that's normally how it is when you're not feeling quite well. But his shots are still the same, right? So if you just look at maybe how he moves and all that, and if you start to maybe be a little bit more passive and wait for it, he's gonna win the match. And obviously, you know, credits to him to play until the end and to fight until the end. Yeah, a great champion, great person, and definitely he's gonna be back.
Last question, Sasha. I'm gonna let you go after this. You have played in one Grand Slam final before at the US Open. What are some of the things that you learned from that match, or don't you want to think about it?
Well, I was two sets to love up and
exactly.
A breakup, and I was 2 points away from winning the match. But I've said it before, and I'm going to say it now again, I was not ready.
Okay.
I was not ready to win my first Grand Slam title. I was not mature enough. I was maybe too much of a kid still. I didn't know what the occasion means, and that's why I lost. And I'm 27 years old now, so definitely not a kid anymore, already getting older. And, you know, if not now, then when?
Yeah, that's true. Well, you're easily the oldest at 27 of the four semifinalists. That must feel very different. You are suddenly the old guy. Sinner is much younger. Carlitos younger. Kasper younger. You bring so much experience onto the court at only 27 years old.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been on tour for, this is my 11th year now.
Wow.
So it's been a long time, but I'm still enjoying the game. I still love every single second on these kind of beautiful courts, and I'm still trying to improve. And I'm in my first Roland Garros final, and hopefully I can win my first Grand Slam.
Sasha, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck in the finals. Well done. And if you're pour la finale, Alexander Zverev.
Yeah, he is maturing. He's had to.
And he's got his chance on Sunday against Carlos Alcaraz. He said he had to be aggressive, and the stats reflect that. 19 aces to just 4 for Casper Ruud. His service percentages leapt up as the match went on. He ended getting 68% of first serves into play. He was winning 86% of points on first serve, 54 on second. Ruud 69 and 40 respectively. And 54 winners, Elena, by the end of the match for Zverev, 20 more than his opponent, and he committed one less unforced error as well. So no wonder he ended up a four-set winner.
Well, I think he grew in stature as the match went on, if you can say that about someone who was 6'6" when it started. But he grew in power, he grew in confidence, as we said, shrugged off an indifferent start by his high standards and just went from strength to strength. And not Casper Ruud's best day, but certainly one for Alexander Zverev to really cherish. He's done it. He's broken through the semi-final barrier here at Roland Garros. And what a final we've got in store between this bright, big, big-hitting German and the lively, vibrant Spaniard, Carlos Alcaraz.
Yeah, it'll be their 10th encounter. A reminder that Zverev leads the head-to-head 5-4. They have met here once before in 2022 in the quarterfinals when Zverev was a winner in 4 sets. They also met at the Australian Open at the start of this year in the quarterfinals. Zverev won on that occasion as well. Since then, Alcaraz has put him in his place, winning 6-3, 6-1 in Indian Wells, and he does lead 2-1 on clay. So it's going to be a fascinating final, as Elena mentioned. We only hope that Casper Ruud's stomach bug isn't too serious and he's back on his feet. That's it as far as Friday is concerned. But tomorrow we're back, Elena. We've got wheelchair finals. We've got the women's singles final. And, can Jasmine Paolini spring a major surprise against Iga Świątek?
All things are possible, and that is the beauty of tennis, and you will not miss a ball. We've also got the men's doubles final to follow the women's singles final tomorrow, as ever. Every ball, every day here at Radio Roland Garros.
Thank you, Lady E. That's Lady Eleanor of Preston. I'm Marcus Buckland. Thank you, wherever you are in the world, for all your emails, your tweets, your comments, your company. It's an interactive experience, and let's make sure that continues into the weekend. We will be back at 11 a.m. local time for the women's wheelchair singles final, followed by Iga Świątek against Jasmine Paolini, and then it's Sarvalo and Pavic against Bolelli and Vavasori in the men's doubles. Lots of Italian involvement. But for now, from all of us in the French capital, it's bonsoir.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
You're taking a pretty big risk to go out wide there to the forehand, that doubles-type return from the deuce court, because Federer's forehand is absolutely lethal.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
Day 13 at Roland Garros 2024. The sun is shining, the sky is blue, the crowds are enjoying themselves. They've been here since this morning watching the action unfold on the outside courts. We have four finals taking place today in the junior wheelchair competition. First time that Roland Garros has held a junior wheelchair competition. So we have the doubles and singles in both the boys and the girls taking place. We have semi-finals to be decided in the women's and men's doubles. We have the legends taking place. We have the quad wheelchair competition taking place. There is so much action around the grounds. Another focus will fall on court Philippe Chatrier, where in just a matter of minutes, our first semi-finalists in the men's competition will make their way out. Carlos Alcaraz against Jannik Sinner for a ninth time, and that will be followed later by Sasha Zverev against Casper Ruud. And with you for this first semi-final, Stefan, as always, and myself, Gigi, alongside Antoine. How are you, Antoine?
I'm great. And you, Gigi?
I'm ready for today. I'm excited about today. I'm intrigued. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out, but I think one thing is for sure, we're going to get a lot of great tennis.
The schedule today is just amazing. We're so lucky to be here. Two great matches, at least. Of course, maybe we'll go see if the doubles on Court Simon-Mathieu, that's going on right now. But we have two amazing singles today. It's just, I can't wait.
Well, I just like the smile on your face.
Oh, yeah.
As you're looking at the order of play, you're sort of smiling as you're reading those names.
Those players, you know, as we're going to start with Alcaraz and Sinner, then Zverev and Ruud. I mean, it's always the same feeling during the semis. I feel like I'm so lucky to do this job. We are going about to watch four amazing players. We don't know. I mean, of course, there are maybe a bit of favorites here and there, but I mean, it's almost 50-50 on both matches. And maybe we're going to have great battles, you know, four or five sets. It's just amazing. The weather is amazing as well.
Oh, wow.
22, 23 degrees.
I mean, you're saying amazing a lot. I mean, that's a good start to the day.
I'm just saying, so happy.
Just saying amazing. If we have about 10 minutes until the players come out. So if we sort of work backwards and start with Zverev against Casper Ruud, a fifth meeting between the two. They've split those four meetings. It's a repeat of the semi-final last year when Casper Ruud came through very easily against Zverev. But Zverev, we have to remember, was 22 in the world, yet he was still working his way back from the ankle difficulties. And it's fascinating because I feel that despite picking Ruud and despite him winning Geneva at 250, no one's really spoken about him and he's just quietly gone about his business. But there is a lot of talk and expectation on Sasha Zverev, partly because he won Rome coming into Roland Garros.
And also, it's always the same thing with Casper Ruud. We don't talk about him and he's in semis and finals and he said, okay, yeah, let's you know, we need to count with him, you know, we need to do with him. And this year is the same thing. We are waiting for Sasha Zverev. We are saying, okay, we feel like he is another level. You know, he went up another level. He had tremendous challenges during the 2 weeks. He had to beat Rafael Nadal in the first round. He had some five-setter battles during the tournament, and he's in semi-final against Casper Ruud. That we said, okay, he's one of the best. He's been one of the best players during the clay court season. We know that he loves that, but we're still thinking, okay, maybe that's Sasha Zverev's moment.
What about this matchup as a matchup in terms of game styles?
We know that Casper Ruud has an amazing spin on the forehand side and also on the backhand side, to be honest, but it's more on the forehand side that he makes, you know, trouble with. So that's something that we're going to see today, definitely. And what we like about Sasha Zverev is that during the past 2-3 years, he improved and he changed some things in his game. He's playing a bit closer from his baseline. He's being more aggressive with the forehand. He's doing less mistakes with that shot as well, you know. Like before, when he had to create something with the forehand, on the forehand side, there was some mistakes. Sometimes he was getting in the net. And some players, they would say, okay, I can play short on his forehand and I know that I'm going to get some errors out of it. Now, what I've seen during the 2 weeks, I don't think that's the case anymore. So, of course, he also improved on the service side, because before he was, you know, he was able to do a lot of double faults. Now he has done a bit less. He's doing a better job. He has an amazing first serve. He's coming a bit more on the net. He's moving perfectly. The only thing is, I don't know how he's going to handle the spin of Ruud's forehand.
It's intriguing. It's absolutely intriguing how this is. I do not expect it to be straight sets as it was this time last year. Absolutely not. And as I say, Casper Ruud is just quietly going about his business.
And very important thing, there are two amazing fighters. So they're both in their way. They have a great behavior on the court. They're fighting until the last point. They run on every single balls. They're just great fighters, great runners, so that's going to be something.
Casper Ruud has got the most wins on tour this year, 39. He's got 9 losses and the most on clay, 21 and 4 defeats. And he's reached 5 finals and he's picked up the biggest title of his career, Barcelona, because it was the first one above 250 level, that being a 500. So that's locked at 2 apiece. It's not before 5:30. I'm not sure they'll need the not before, because I have a feeling we've got plenty of tennis in Yannick Sinner against Carlos Alcaraz. 4 apiece. They met in the Indian Wells semi-final this year. Alcaraz came from a set down to win. They've met once on clay in 2022 and Umag Sinner won that. They met once at a Grand Slam in 2022 and Yannick Sinner would win that. What's fascinating about this, and I was looking at some pieces being done on it, is yes, they take up a very aggressive court position, but it is who can get round the backhand side, who can get onto that inside-out forehand to try and take the advantage in the points.
again, this first match is just it's going to be a battle. I think the balls are going to be hurting, you know, like they, because those two players, they hit the ball so hard on both sides. And I mean, there is one thing you were saying, the way they both try to go around their backhand and hit their forehand. We have one thing with Carlos Alcaraz, is that we had, a question mark on his forearm. He's getting better. He looks like there's no problem at all now. And also, Carlos Alcaraz has, for me, in my opinion, one of the best inside-in forehand. Yeah, of course, he has a good inside-out. He hurts the player on the backhand side. But when he makes the difference, he's able to do to go down the line, you know, with this inside-in that is just amazing. And also, he has this amazing drop shot, the ability to hit drop shots and to mask them very well until the last moment, until the last second. You think that he's going to hit the ball very hard, and he's going to put his hand under the ball and do an amazing drop shot. So he has this weapon's a bit more better than Sinner on the court, but Sinner is playing the tennis of his life right now. We are also, no, we don't have any more concern about his hip. So, again, an amazing fight to come.
It's been described as video game tennis when these two go at it. They raise each other's level. They bring out the very best in each other. They're very good friends off the court. You'll often see them in the tunnel having a little chat and a smile before they're actually brought out. A lovely shot there of Jasmine Paolini just greeting Jannik Sinner. Paolini into the final faces Iga Świątek tomorrow, and Jannik Sinner knows that on Monday when the rankings come out, and it's not just because Djokovic withdrew and the points fell off, he has more than earned his right to take his place at the top of the rankings from Monday.
Yeah, I mean, he's the Australian Open champion. He's in semi-finals right now. He's doing an amazing job with his team. He's always improving. Also, great character. I mean, as the balls are coming on the court, Philippe Châtrier, so the excitement is improving as well. But yeah, I was talking about Sinner and the way he's been able to put himself at the number one position in ranking. He just 100% deserves it.
33 wins and just the 2 defeats for Jannik Sinner this year, to Alcaraz semi-finals at Indian Wells, to Tsitsipas semi-finals at Monte Carlo, and then he obviously withdrew in Madrid before he was due to face Felix Auger-Aliassime due to the right hip that we spoke of. It led to him missing Rome, which he said was a very difficult thing for him to do, being an Italian in Rome. We've now got a shot of the corridor under Philippe Châtrier. Carlos Alcaraz on his own. He's said goodbye to the team. Now, he's going to be brought out first as the lower ranked. Don't want to call him a lower ranked player.
Yeah, no. The
lower ranked of the two. I mean, it has to be said. He's now bouncing up and down. He's got that sleeve, the white sleeve on his right arm. That's what I love. There's a little handshake between the two as Jannik Sinner makes his way out.
We love that. Both players, they know that they're about to do an amazing fight. They're both moving, you know, on their feet. They're trying to stay warmed up. It's just amazing. I mean, the tension in that corridor when they know that they're about in 5 minutes to enter this court to have this amazing battle. They know that they're not gonna, you know, like give 1 centimeter away to their opponent. They're gonna fight. They're gonna hit the ball very hard. They're gonna it doesn't get any better.
No, it really doesn't. The music will come to an end, and that is when Carlos Alcaraz will be beckoned to start his journey up the stairs. Some high knees being done by Jannik Sinner, the bags being put on the shoulders of Carlos Alcaraz. Remembering he is just 21 years of age, and he's looking for a third Grand Slam final. He's 2-0 in those finals, winning in New York at Flushing Meadows in 2022, and then Wimbledon last summer. This year, he's 22-5 for the year. He's 9-3 on the clay. It's only his 7th event of the year due to a little bit of injury and taking time out with the arm, but here he is being welcomed onto court.
Le court n'a que 21 ans. Il est numéro 3 mondial. Il a déjà remporté 2 titres en Grand Chelem. Il est espagnol, Carlos Alcaraz.
wonderful reception, as you'd expect from the young man. Doesn't have that trademark smile on the face, but lovely to see the little mascot with him. She had a beaming smile as she had the job of escorting the Spaniard out onto court. Now Jannik Sinner, he will be the new world number one. He'll be the 29th player to be number one on Monday, looking for his second Grand Slam final. He's 12-0 in Grand Slam play this year, but can he reach his first Roland Garros final? There's an Italian flag I can see down below me being waved. I mean, what a tournament they're having. Vavasori and Bellelli are in the men's doubles final. Errani and Paolini are still in the semi-finals, the women's doubles. Paolini's in the singles final. Jannik Sinner is in the semi-finals looking for his place. He'll be number one on Monday. There's a couple of juniors going great guns as well. It's a phenomenal time for Italian tennis.
We need to get inspired by the Italian tennis, what they've been doing. A lot, they have a lot. There are many reasons, of course, for this success, but amazing, of course, the tennis culture. And also, they have so many professional tournaments, you know, all year long. Futures, challengers, ITFs for women. And I mean, you play a lot of those tournaments, you have a lot of tournaments to play like this. That's how you improve, that's how you develop the tennis. And just a great job by the Italian Federation. And it's not a... I mean, it's not a surprise that they're having so much success.
Right, let's have a listen into the housekeeping.
Okay, guys, so we have Bastian and Zoe. They're going to help us with the
Bastian coin. Bastian and Zoe.
Can we please take a photo first over to that side, the four of you? Thank you. So for the match... 5 tiebreak sets, 6 ball, 7, 9 ball change. I call the net. 25 seconds between points for the ball marks. If I have a doubt, I'll be going myself anyway, but obviously feel free to call me if you want me to check anything. And for your towels, Carlos, you have the orange towel, so please use the orange box. And Jannik, you have the blue, use the blue. Any questions before we start? No? Chi va a scegliere?
Oh, I got excited.
Carlos, another or ball?
Player.
Vas-y.
Receive.
You receive.
There we go.
Okay.
I love that, how excited they got at that. Okay, so the decisions have been made. Sinner wins the toss, elects to receive, and before the match begins, the warm-up will take place, and we're going to hear from both men involved this afternoon, starting with the Italian, Jannik Sinner.
Jannik, well done. Obviously not the way you wanted with Novak withdrawing from the tournament, and you're still... have to finish the event yourself, but how did you react to the fact that you will be number one in the PIF ATP rankings on Monday?
Yeah, it means a lot to me, for sure. It's not the way we all were expecting, actually. We had two very long matches, tough matches, 5 sets, so it's tough. The first one, he finished really late also. And, you know, it's tough also for the tournament, you know, and Novak retiring, it's always tough. Talking about myself, I am very happy about this achievement, you know. It's a lot of work we put in daily, you know, it's a daily routine, and, you know, obviously happy to have this number. But, you know, in 2 days there is a very important match in for me, the semifinals. So I'm focused about that at the moment. But yes, of course, very happy to have this number now.
Jannik, Italy have had some great players over the years, some Grand Slam champions. But what does it mean to you as an Italian to be the first Italian number one?
Oh, it means a lot. But I think it's great for Italy. No, we are. Great country with, you know, great coaches and players, and we can see this now, how this moment is. I'm happy to be part of this Italian movement. You know, people, they start to play tennis now more and more, which is great to see. I think that's the most important. And if someone is number one or number two or number 10, it's you know, this everyone is trying their best. And we have a lot of tournaments. We have junior tournaments and futures and challengers. And we have great tournaments, ATP tournaments. We have the ATP finals in Turin and Rome. And we had the next gen in Milan. So, you know, it's great to see this movement in Italy. And I think Italy deserves it, no? Because it's a great country. We have everything. And so it's good to be part of this movement.
Well, first of all, I'm really, really happy to be back in the semifinal here in Roland Garros. It's always special being able to play a semifinal in a Grand Slam. I'm really, really excited to play on Friday against Jannik again. Really difficult challenge. I'm ready for that, and hopefully everyone are going to enjoy that match as much as I'm going to do it.
Looking ahead to playing Jannik, what would you say is the hardest part of playing against him, and what do you enjoy the most about your matches with Jannik?
Well, you have to run like it is in a marathon, you know, side to side. I think he has no. Nothing bad. Everything he does it perfectly. The way that he hit the ball is unbelievable. The way he moves, it's really, really well. You know, he pushes you to the limit in every ball, in every point. I think it is the hardest thing to face Jannik, but. At the same time, I love that. I love this kind of matches. I love this kind of challenge. You know, to have a really difficult battle against him. The previous matches that we've played, I think it was like that, and I love that. I love that to find solutions, to find a way to beat him. The way that I did in Indian Wells, for example, that 6-1 in the first set, and then I found a way to make him in trouble. I think those situations is great for the tennis to try to, you know, find the right ways. Say,
I'll be looking to find the right way today, and the timing is perfect because both players heading to their towel box at the back of the court. The far end, underneath the presidential tribune, Alcaraz is distributing his white towels. Closest to our commentary box as we look down from the fifth floor, Jannik Sinner prowling around the back. He won the toss, he elected to receive. Who will be the first to book their place in Sunday's final? First time since 2004, we haven't had a member of the Big Three in the Final Four. For those on Correccia watch, Alex Correccia has just had a little wave. He's next door. He's alongside us. So everyone is in position. Back through the middle of the court. The backhand cross court. Double-handed backhand from Sinner. Sinner with a backhand down the line. And he nets. And do get in touch with us. Who do you think is going to win? I've gone Alcaraz. Antoine's gone Jannik Sinner.
Yeah, because I put him too cold away. So I have to go with Jannik.
You can't change.
Yeah, I can't.
I've gone for Alcaraz in straight sets. I don't know what's come over me.
Yeah.
At @radio_RG, French Open Radio, FFT.fr. And if you followed our predictions, you'll know that Casper Ruud will win the second semi-final. Otherwise, all my guesses are out. Backhand down the line from Alcaraz, a looping ball that just nudges inside the baseline from Sinner. The forehand cross court inside the service box. A heavy forehand from Sinner. Has to scamper back. He's under the overhead. He smashes down the backhand. Stays in play from Alcaraz. Cross court and deep goes Sinner. He'll switch around. Goes inside out. Forehand back behind Alcaraz. And he wins the point. His first point of the semi-final. 15-all.
Amazingly done by... I say a lot amazing, you're right, Gigi. I'm sorry, I'm just so excited. I'm going to try to change.
Never change,
very
Antoine.
Well played.
Don't
by
change.
Jannik Sinner. Has he maneuver, you know, Carlos Alcaraz. and the 15-all. That's something I didn't say in the pre-match, is that I think Carlos Alcaraz has a better defensive game, you know, today. So that's going to be also a key, even though on this point, as Yannick Sinner has been able to counter-attack and to pass Carlos Alcaraz with a cross-court backhand. 15-30.
A result of a final to bring you, Maximilian Tauscher, the top seed in the wheelchair boys singles, has been crowned champion. He beat Ivar van Riet, the second seed, 2-6, 6-4. He was a breakdown in the second set, 7-6 in the tiebreak. So congratulations to him. One of four finals that we have today. 15-30, second serve. The stretch of the backhand clips the top of the net. Backs in his own side. He sort of looks skywards and then resets at 30-all. I think both players are going to get an awful lot of support. Sometimes it's more one than the other, but I think this is going to be quite an equal split.
Yeah, I was about to say, who do you think has maybe the big crowd of them? Maybe Alcaraz has the ability to, you know, to get the crowd behind him.
Yeah, he'll show you more emotional. He'll give you that big beaming smile as he weaves his way forward and finishes it, placing the forehand down the line for game point. He has that way of engaging the crowd. As we always say, that smile on his face, he looks like he's enjoying himself so much.
Ben Stiller is in the place. He loves tennis.
Back. Who's he supporting, do we know?
We don't know.
Game point. Sinner leans forward, twisting the racket again and again and again, and Alcaraz reaches up and serves out by the backhand slam cross court inside in. There's the inside in that Anton was talking about, but he follows up, skips mid-court, kind of no man's land Alcaraz, and nets on the forehand line.
Yeah, that forehand stayed a little bit, you know, in his racket. It was an old mistake, maybe a bit of tension on that last forehand.
Mariana says, dearest Eugene Antoine, winner today, Sinner, Forza. From a very hot 33 degrees Celsius, but sunny Corfu.
Yeah, Mariana has been following us whole 2 weeks, so hi to her again.
Ace. She's also our Greek correspondent. She was in charge of translating conversations between Apostolos and Stephanos.
Okay. Interesting talks. I bet.
Susan says, hello from Urbana, Virginia. Game point for Alcaraz. Serves out wide. The backhand cross court to the feet and the inside out forehand. Very deep from Alcaraz. Short ball from Sinner. Drop shot from Alcaraz. We didn't even talk about the drop shot pre-match. Down the line from Sinner. What a get from the Italian. Reached down the line. Switched his body. Stayed in the net. Volleys cross court. Gets the winner.
Stunning play. There are no round of observations and between the two players. They're just going at it right away, right from the beginning. They show each other that they're both ready to fight. Mira Andreeva is also...
Oh, yes, with her mum. Look at that, watching on. Serve out wide. So a good deep serve from Alcaraz. Drops the follow-up into the mid-court. The backhand cross-court from Sinner. And a miss hit from Alcaraz. Shoots up skywards. And we have our first break point of this semi-final.
Yeah. He was a little bit on the back foot on that last backhand, Carlos Alcaraz. That's why he missed, in my opinion. And... as we see a shot of Sinner, very focused for that first break point.
Serve out wide. Alcaraz takes his time, goes inside out with the forward, plays double handed back on the Spaniard, the double handed for the Italian. They're going cross court. They're thumping it cross court. It's exactly what they're doing. It's break point for Sinner. More into the middle of the court from the Italian. The forehand whipped into the corner. The squash shot from the Italian sits a little bit short. The forehand is netted by Carlos Alcaraz from inside the baseline. And first blood goes the way of the man who will be the new world number one on Monday. Sinner breaks for one love.
Second mistake on the foreign side in a very aggressive and positive position for Carlos Alcaraz as this foreign stayed in the net, the second one of the game. and that we know that Yannick Sinner doesn't need much to get the break, so that's shame for Carlos Alcaraz, because he really had the opportunity to make that point. Francesca Schiavone is in the house. I mean, we're going to see a lot of, you know, legends and people. They know that we are witnessing maybe the two new bosses of world tennis right now.
Francesca Schiavone alongside Mansour Bahrami in the legends earlier today. Lost to Daniela Hantikova and Guy Forget in a tight match. But Susan from Virginia says, I'm happy to hear that Antoine has survived the incident with the strawberries. And I look forward to hearing the wonderful play-by-play. I can confirm he has survived. Sinner, they've switched ends. Anne says, hello from Indianapolis, Indiana, where I'm introducing my 94-year-old mum to your coverage. She's a huge tennis fan and has been to Roland Garros in the past. Anne, you need to send the name of your mum to us. Forehand has rolled through the middle of the court. Cross-court forehand into the corner from Sinner, but big hello to your mum. Backhand is lofted long by the Spaniard. Kate's listening from her daughter's house in Arkansas. And Brianna says that it's wild that I'm predicting Alcaraz will beat Sinner in straight sets. I think I'm on day 13. My pick is playing later. I've gone out there because I'm so bad with predictions, as Sinner aces out wide for 30 love. Sometimes you've just got to put it out there and be wrong.
But it's brave, I mean. I didn't say the number of sets. I'm thinking Sinner, and I said four sets. That was off air. I have to say it on air.
Okay.
So here we are. We have both
cards on the table.
Yeah.
Right. Love that. 30 love. One love. Sinner looking to back up his early break. It's a big, big serve from the Italian. Brings up game points.
Yeah. It was a great return, a great attempt from Alcaraz, but just missed by a few centimeters behind the baseline. After a great white serve, for Sinner, wearing this typical clayish top with grey hat and grey shorts.
Serve out. Well, let's not start the colour debate because it's probably going to be called blue. The sliding backhand down the line winner. He holds to love. He consolidates love. The Italian off to the perfect start. He leads by 2 games to love.
You see blue, okay.
Well, no, I don't. But we had this. What colour is Carlos Alcaraz wearing?
Yeah. For me, it's a dark grey.
Exactly, for me too. But apparently on the official website, it's blue.
Blue, okay.
But for me, like you, I think that's like a slate grey.
Yeah. So that would be, and of course, yellow shorts. And
well, definitely yellow shorts.
Yeah.
100%. They can't call that anything but yellow.
No. Or you're colorblind.
Yeah, then you've got other things to deal with. So Carlos Alcaraz looking to get on the board with a game. He's loved two, and he serves out wide. It's flat forehand back, the stretch in the backhand, bunted cross-court from Sinner. Backhand down the line from Alcaraz. Amazing defense this from Sinner. Goes backhand through the middle of the court. The forehand lofted deep, sits up. Alcaraz with the forehand. You can hear him as he hits. He drops that one short. A slight miss hit from Sinner, but finds the line. Sinner was about to unleash and unload on the inside-out forehand, but he nets, and it's 15 love.
Yeah, he was in a great position to punish Carlos Alcaraz, but he missed in the net. And I have to say, he hit two amazing forehands, very deep. He was not on a very good position during the point, and because of those two forehands, he was able to be in that position. But 15 love for Carlos Alcaraz.
10 minutes on the clock. Alcaraz serves out wide, jumps in there and hits the backhand inside in from Alcaraz. The squash shot from Sinner. Alcaraz inside the baseline, unleashes with his forehand, but Sinner then pushes the Spaniard back, who draws the error off the backhand, leaning backwards.
Yeah.
The defense so far from Sinner. He's everywhere. Mm.
Moving very well. And we can tell on the foreign side when Alcaraz has to, you know, like to punish or to go hard. The two mistakes that he did in the first game, I it's a little bit in his head, you know, like you can tell that he's not 100% on that side right now.
First serve thundered into the net. So he goes and retrieves that ball. He has two. He discards one. He has the other one that he had in his pocket that is fine for him to use. Sinner steps up to the baseline. twisting the racket. 15 all, love to serve down the tee. The backhand is short and it's backhand cross court. He punishes the Italian and he edges ahead on the scoreboard in this game, game number three.
Yeah, that would be a very important thing for Carlos Alcaraz to get on the board. He didn't start, you know, poorly that match. He's playing well, but just Sinner's not making any mistake, and he did a couple mistakes. That's just the difference on why he's a breakdown.
30-15, served down the tee, snatched back. How does he find the court, Sinner? Backhand cross court from the Italian. All the work is being done by Carlos Alcaraz, who spins that backhand, sits up. Oh, my word. I cannot express how hard Jannik Sinner just hit that inside-out forehand.
It was like maybe a meter behind the baseline. Mm-hmm. Alcaraz plays this great spin backhand with some height above the neck, great depth. And Sinner went around his back end and just hammered that forehand inside out.
Wow.
And pushed Carlos Alcaraz to the fourth. 30 all.
I might be changing it to Sinner in straight sets at this rate. 30 all. Alcaraz serves out wide, slap back to his feet. The Spaniard drops it mid-court, up the line, cross-court and deep from Sinner. Sinner with his double-handed backhand, places it, gets it, side edge of the sideline. He has a point now for three love and a double break with 12 minutes played.
It's just the perfect start for Jannik Sinner. He doesn't miss anything, makes the perfect choices, makes the perfect execution of the shots. I mean, that backhand down the line that hits the line. Amazing. Once again, 30-40.
Yes, this is stunning stuff from Sinner. Alcaraz with a break point to defend at 30-40. Serves centre of the box. Went into the body. Sinner gets it back. It's lofted long from Alcaraz, who's looking up in a quite a perplexed fashion at his box because he's not quite sure what's going wrong. Yeah. What's going right for Sinner is absolutely everything. And he breaks for the double break and a three love lead.
And has Carlos Alcaraz looked over his box, you know, a little bit worried? And it was funny to see that Jannik Sinner looks at him at the same moment, you know, getting some information. And he saw that Alcaraz, you know, looked over to his box saying, well, what is the solution right now? Because I don't have anything. So that's going to help and to tell Jannik Sinner that he needs to keep doing what he's doing right now, as the goal Philippe Chatrier is almost fully packed.
All the people who are thinking, you know, I'll give it a few minutes and we'll go in, I think they must have seen a scoreboard outside, thought, hang on a second, it's three love in 12 minutes, and they are pouring into Philippe Chatrier now.
As the lunches have finished in the VIP areas, you know.
I should hope so at 2:55. I know you have a nice long lunch tradition out here, Antoine, but come on, 3 o'clock, men's semi-final day.
Yeah, I know.
I'd have been in my seat from about midday.
They should start earlier. But you know, they enjoy their rosé, their champagne, you know.
Well, we enjoyed that at dinner last night. We raised a glass to you at our dinner last night, Antoine. Oh.
Thank you. I was ashamed. I was not able to be here.
A little team glass.
As Sophie was not happy about it, I know.
No, she sent Antoine a little voice note asking why I was not there. And we did present Chris with a piece of the bread, a piece of the loaf of bread. The wonderful lady at the restaurant, when she bought his starter, she bought a plate with some of the bread on it. And he ate it.
Nice.
And now it's about 2 weeks old. Jannik Sinner at 3 love, 15 love, serving towards the Presidential Tribune. 15 minutes on the clock, serves down the tee. Alcaraz is a long way back, and he nets, and it's 30 love.
He's like, we know that he's far behind his baseline on the return, as we see Paul-Henri Mathieu on the TV screen.
Du Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
And yeah, Carlos Alcaraz is like 4 or 5 meters behind the baseline to start the return. Dirty love Sinner. Serve down the tee. And yeah, a bit too far, Carlos Alcaraz. It's very hard to make that backhand return. He found the middle of the net. Dirty love.
And a penetrating serve from Sinner, yet to drop a point on serve. He is looking for a clean sweep of the first four games inside 16 minutes with no points against the serve. There's a point here to do just that. Serves into the body. He's done it. Great body serve. Alcaraz, nothing he could do about that. And 16 minutes played, four love, no points against the Sinner serve. I mean, the man has been like a machine since he stepped out here. Incredible stuff from Jannik Sinner, but best of five sets. There is still an awfully long way to go.
And we know that Carlos Alcaraz is not the type of guy that goes away. Yeah, and the crowd knows it, and they push him, and it's just amazing. Once again, we love that atmosphere here in the Co-Philippe Chatrier. We have the typical whiteouts. You know that they're out, this sunny day.
Better than the blankets from week one. Backhand cross court from Sinner. Sinner with his backhand down the line. Alcaraz spins the cross court forehand, pushes it very deep, and into the corner he goes, gets a mid court ball, goes back to the squash shot from Sinner. Ball sits off for Alcaraz. He's trying to put it away. It comes back with some venom off the squash shot from Sinner, who goes flat backhand cross court. A lofted spinny backhand from Alcaraz. Alcaraz flattens out the backhand to the inside in from Sinner. These are like rockets.
A rocket. Like a inside it, forehand, rocket, very deep on the forehand side of Alcaraz. Alcaraz doesn't have time to, you know, to hit a spin forehand. He has to slice it, and he finds the tape of the net. Perfectly played by Sinner. We can tell that Alcaraz is trying to put some variations and some more height in his shots, you know, but there's one thing that he's not doing. He's not doing drop shots. You know, he's keeping Sinner on the baseline, and we know that Sinner loves that position.
Rare unforced error.
Yeah.
Off the service return, and Alcaraz points to the mark just to confirm it was the right call, and there's a lot of trust and friendship
of course
here.
A lot of respect.
Sinner, very machine like, he strides to his towel, he comes back, he gets himself into position, he's bouncing on his toes, wide stance, twisting the racket, swaying the upper body. Now he'll take a jump forward, but the serve has missed. Now he'll come even closer to the baseline to put a little bit more pressure on the Spaniard's second serve. The Italian is inside the baseline, plays the off backhand, forehand up the line, and Sinner is there with the backhand cross court to the service line. Cross court to cross court. With the backhand, they go redirected up the line. Forehand slapped cross court from Sinner. Then he goes down the line. The forehand of Sinner today is ridiculous, but it's the backhand that he gets the error off from the Italian, and it's 30-15.
And we get the first vamos from Carlos. As Tiffany got in touch with us. She said, be careful when you tell Darren Cahill your dreams, they'll make them come true. What a coach. You're definitely right, Tiffany. He's just one of the best, if not the best, right now.
And we have to say that there's two coaches. There's his Italian coach, Simone Vaccheroni, that they're working. And he said the great thing is that they work so well together as a team. They're both very laid back. Down the line goes Sinner, who switches around, goes inside out the forehand, the drop's a bit short. Lots of spin on that ball, a heavy forehand that comes down from Sinner. Sinner with the forehand drops that one mid-court forehand down the line. The first time Alcaraz has been able and in a position to unload, and unload he does.
Yeah, he did. He did on that last one. That was his best forehand so far in this match. As we saw his arm, you know, when he went through the ball. Great execution from Carlos. And another fist bump for him, looking to his box. Much more positive attitude right now for Carlos. The crowd helped him. Good white serve, yeah.
He got lucky. That forehand return didn't miss by much. But Carlos Alcaraz has got himself on the board. So 20 minutes played, 4-1 and a double break, Jannik Sinner. Jasmine Paolini's on court, caught Simone Mathieu, the semi-final of her doubles, alongside Sara Errani. They are the 11th seeds and they're underway against Elena Gabriela Rusa and Marta Kostyuk. So we'll keep an eye on that one.
Of course.
Yeah. Lots to keep an eye on today.
And I was watching Carlos Alcaraz, and he had a little bit of an interaction with his box, as he showed, you know, his fist, and his box just raised, stood up, went also.